Well, for everybody who may be listening online, all three of you, we're outside tonight. So I'm going to ask everybody in the group that if you speak a little bit louder than you normally would, because we do want the microphone to pick it up. And sometimes we have a tendency to be a little bit more quiet. There will be a little bit of wind noise they've got to deal with. So if we speak louder, they can hear it. And we're not really, and then I can hear you, right? Because the wind is blowing quickly. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are in Proverbs chapter 27. We actually will begin in verse 5. I say tonight will might be a little bit difficult because when I got down to verse 11, talks about fathers. My dad's not here, so maybe some of you are in that situation. And so I was just reflective, so that's why it was hard for me. So anyway, let's start in verse 5, chapter 27, verse 5. Who would like to start this evening?
I will.
All right, here's the turtle.
Oh, right.
Oh, your turtle.
Managing the wind as well. Hold on. There we go. So 27, verse 5.
Verse 5.
Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed.
So, as always, we always ask, what is this even trying to say? What are we talking about here?
Don't beat around the bush.
There you go. Don't beat around the bush.
Better to be truthful than to think like, oh, I'm going to be kind and not say anything.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's okay to hurt feelings if you're building up a person.
There you go.
And it says somewhere, blessed is he that... I don't know what it says now, but when you rebuke... When you turn someone away from their sin, that's a blessing.
Yep. Good.
I got the.
I don't know where that is.
That it's better to openly rebuke than to like withhold love from them. You know, it's like it's better to be honest and forthright, you know, and not hold back that, you know. That's what I was kind of getting from then love carefully concealed.
Yeah. Know? The idea of you can conceal or you
hide
your love, your affection. What does that do? When you're hiding your affection for someone, what happens?
It could make them feel uncared for.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's better for us to speak out loud. Right? Take it from the negative perspective. It's better for me to say you're screwing up, which is not a nice thing to say, right? Yeah. Than for me to withhold saying I love you to my wife.
Yeah.
And if I keep that I love you to myself and I just go, hey, how you doing? And that's how I say I love you. That's being secretive, right?
Yeah.
Hey, there you are.
That's kind of what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
You said it better than I did.
No, but I think that's exactly
kind of what I was trying to allude to.
Eli, that doesn't mean you have to say anything. You just, you know.
Yeah. You just sit there and nod your head. It's
all right. Suddenly up for me.
I think of the saying, and all of us have said it or heard this at one point in time, and I think this kind of falls in line with this. I know they say it in the South a lot more than they do up here, but they'll say, bless their heart, because they notice something that is a little off sometimes, you know, but you don't want to have to say anything. So there's that bless your heart, dear, you know, because that's what came to my mind after Eli said, or maybe you can't, one of the two. Yeah. It's like, ah. That goes right along with that same type of...
You don't have the courage to call them out on their wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's kind of like a backhanded insult or something.
Yeah.
Hey, you idiot. What's your
wrong? No, it can be. What's your wrong? You know, it can be used in a good connotation, but that twang that sometimes spin people put on it.
Spin in combination with the situation, right?
Yeah. That wasn't a good what's your
I think awesome. Oh, go ahead.
I was just thinking, that verse I was thinking of was love covereth a multitude of sins.
There's a sergeant in my unit in the medical section. I love her to bits and pieces. She's awesome, but I remember her go-to saying, and I didn't understand it at first, but she always says, I'm not going to be nice to you, but I'm going to be kind. Where basically, you know, she's like, I'm not going to beat around the bush with you, and I'm not going to try to, you know, be a people pleaser, but I am going to tell you what I'm going to be honest about something when you're wrong about something. And I think, honestly, I think more or less of the time, people prefer that. You know, just be honest with me. Like, don't try to please me. Don't try to tell me, you know, what you think that I would like to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Especially if you're in a situation or a predicament where it's like, well, it's going to make me look stupid or it's going to make me look wrong. Like, just, you know, correct me on it or say it to my face before, you know, I go and do something stupid, you know?
Sometimes the sin is so rooted in your life or whatever it is, that the only thing you can do is take offense to it because that is your identity.
Right. So what categories could we assign verse 5?
Truth.
And if you guys need to move in from the sun, you're too high.
Instruction.
Truth. Instruction.
Yeah, counsels.
Patience.
Yeah, patience.
Counsel.
I wrote down commitment because it requires you to be committed in love also is another one, but committed in your love for that person, and you have to have a commitment to speak truthfully, right? Because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you don't want to come alongside someone and say, hey, I see this, I don't really know how to explain it, right?
Well, and sometimes, I know I do, I second guess myself and think, is it really my place? Am I right? Or am I being judgmental? Right?
So. And so we have to spend a lot of time in prayer. That's what has happened in my life anyway. I have to spend a lot of time in prayer and think about that and do I need to say something? Should I say something? Sometimes I do.
Sometimes you don't.
Just kidding. Sometimes I don't.
Just kidding.
But it's not because I don't love him. It's because I don't know how to say it. Right? I don't know what to say. Or even if I'm right or wrong. So, verse 6. Let's go to verse 6.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are kisses of an enemy.
I love that sound.
Huh? I'm assuming the first part we're kind of talking about is like any long-lasting relationship or friendship or anything, there's going to be times that person is annoyed you to death. Or fire, there's been something wrong, but the biggest thing that strengthens that relationship is coming back together, talking about it. It's like the, you know, I guess it's like scarring, I guess, where it's, you know, things are coming back together. But
that's a good idea. I have a friend who he would come up to me and go, Mr. Tim, I just don't agree with you. And here's why. Boom. Lay it out. And sometimes that's hurtful. But at the end of the day, I would rather that my brother say that to me, right? Even though it's hurtful, I would want him to say that to me because kisses on my face from my enemy are worse.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can heal from that with his help. I can heal, but I never recover from the other because it's not real.
I got you.
Yeah.
I kind of was getting it. I'd rather, like, the honest words of a friend with true intentions hurt me a little bit than you to sit in my face and try to help me and not even like me.
Yeah.
You know, it's that, you know, I mean, that's kind of where I was
going.
You know, it's like, you know, sometimes it is hard to hear those, like, those strong corrective words from a loved one, you know, especially when it's done out of a pure heart, you know, whereas I just don't, if I know you don't like me, I don't want to hear that from you anyway.
Right.
You know, so it's like, because then it just makes me feel like it's done out of malice, you know, or some kind of vengefulness, you know what I mean, so.
That or receiving, I was going to say that or receiving like praise or acknowledgement from like clearly somebody that has no good intentions for you. It's like, it seems very two-faced. It's like, really, like, you know, like I'd rather not hear from that person whatsoever, where it's like, you know, I'd rather just not you be around me at all, personally. Like,
unless,
you know,
they set you up for a fall because they don't really care.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, as I read the first part of the verse, especially, mine says it is, you know, as faithful are the wounds of a friend. I think of the friends that we've gone through a lot with, or we've been around for a while, or even a short time, but friends who, I'm going to say it this way, who've been in battle with you, you know, like the friends that we went through bands with. I consider that a battle, you know, supporting the band for, you know, however many years, you know. So I guess I'm looking at it as, you know, you go through life with this set of friends that life isn't always peachy. It's rough some days, and you know, those friends that come out of those kinds of circumstances, I think I would rather have those circumstances and that set of friends than I would somebody come up and kiss me and, like you said, not like me, or not having that,
not being genuine.
Or not being genuine. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. So yeah, I think in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'd rather have the kind of friends that, you know, have been through the fire with, so to speak, than someone who's not genuine.
So,
and that's hard to discern sometimes.
Yeah, so question, just odd question, but to what point do you go with a friend where, like, you guys have been fighting or disagreeing for a long time till you realize, like, maybe it's better to not have them as a friend? Or if it's just okay to stick with them?
It depends what the Holy Spirit is telling you.
True.
Because sometimes my situation, from my experience, I had a friend there, it's been for like 2 years or whatever, and this is before I got clean, and like we'll always fight and disagree with and everything, and I'm like, Holy Spirit was telling me I gotta cut this person off, because if he's not with, you gotta think, if they're not supporting you, or they're not with you, then they're not your true friend. So it's just gotta listen to the Holy Spirit that's telling you on that one.
That is true.
Several things for me, I think. Number one, I agree with Scooby, you know, I think God's gonna put people in your life at a certain point in time. And then that person may or may not, they may be there for a short amount of time, they may be there for a long amount of time, you know? So I think there's the first thing. I know somebody who may have been a really, really close friend also may not be in your most intimate friend group. They may kind of back off as well. And then I think if you get into certain circumstances, kind of like what Scooby said, you have to have boundaries. There are certain people that if it's, you know, a toxic situation or whatever, that it's like you need to know, or you need to ask God, kind of like what Scooby said, what boundaries you need to put in place so that you're not putting yourself in a situation that, you know, could be unsafe or not good for you mentally or physically.
Interestingly, on that, in the book of Philippians, which we will get to at the end of July, is on Sunday morning. In verse chapter 4, verses 2 through 9, he talks about this pair of ladies who are frustrated with one another. And so when we're talking about that situation inside the church or inside a Christian group of people, Paul doesn't say actually that they needed to work it out. They needed to learn how to talk to one another about things of the Lord and let it be there. Be like-minded in the things of the Lord, and then everything else moves off to the side. But outside of that Christian group, it's very difficult, and it requires some discernment, and it's hard to walk away from people, quote-unquote, walk away, right? It's very, very difficult to do that.
That's why you need discernment at the beginning of your friendships.
For sure. But things change during those friendships too, right?
They do.
People change.
Yeah, that's true.
And all those things change, and sometimes we have to go, okay, like Crystal said, here's my boundary. I can be friends up to this point. And we can talk about these things. Beyond that, we can't talk about those things because we can't be friendly.
Right.
But we can be friendly up to this point. Right.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of boundaries versus cutting ties.
Right.
And that we really shouldn't be burning bridges, because then that's, as Christians, that's, you know, one person that we're, I guess, excluding from, could potentially be excluded from God's truth, that we can't witness to that person anymore. But at the same time, we need to protect ourselves from physical danger or even temptations with these people. But again, boundaries, you know, don't block them as your friend on Facebook, but still keep ties. They could reach out eventually, they can change. Some people just need 5 years to kind of burn on their own, you know, to humble themselves. Sometimes they need 20, you know, but, you know, leave the door cracked so that they can at least drop a message.
I think we should love them where they're at, but we don't have to let them provoke us.
Mm-hmm. I think what's also in background of relationships like that, I think sometimes we get the feeling, oh, I need to help that person, I need to change that person, and that's not our responsibility. God is the one that is in the changing business. I think when I was younger, I did not understand that it was God's thing to change people. It's not my responsibility.
So what categories could we throw verse 6 into?
Integrity.
Discernment.
Influence.
Yeah. Our influence. Did that help?
Yeah. It's kind of like a devil's advocate question a little bit.
Right.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
Bible's getting motion.
Do you find that maybe faithfulness, our faith?
I was just thinking.
Yeah, there you go.
I was just looking at what you said. I was like, yeah.
What about counsel?
Counsel? Yeah, that wise counsel.
Friends.
Friends are trustworthy.
And one part of this, it describes a liar. You know, when they're lying to you, giving those kisses that they're deceitful and they're lying. That's what that looks like. It's as sweet as honey to come to you, but it's all with ill intent.
Ooh, honey sounds pretty good right now.
Wait till the next verse. You get to to read it.
The illusion of
close company.
So the trusted or faithful friend, you know, it's like the listening to the instruction from your friend. I think it's so it talks about the friend and the father in this, and these last couple or this little section here, and it's, I would definitely say wise, but the deceitful are kisses of an enemy, or this one says, but enemy multiplies kisses. So maybe like the people that come into your life that can, like this, maybe they appear to be a friend, but they're really not. They're coming for an evil motive.
So the illusion of, yeah.
So they like to like be nice to you, trying to get any information out of you, and like go like, oh hey, I heard this such and such from this person, and blah 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 blah. Kind of like stirring the pot, kind of like going back to a few comments ago, you know, about gossiping.
So would mercy fall into any of this with the faithful wounds of a friend? Being merciful and letting them know, even though it's hard. This kind of goes to the whole idea of disciplining our children, or disciplining ourselves, whichever fits the best, right?
You know, even grace.
And grace.
Like being graceful. I'm learning that huge lesson. Being graceful with my speech, because I'm not real good at all. I'm getting there.
What about forgiveness?
Forgiveness?
Because they're saying, oh, they come back to like their senses and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I was wrong.
Yeah, those faithful, the wounds of a faithful friend. Helps lead us into that opportunity for forgiveness when we get challenged. It's kind of not really getting a beating. It's more like getting a challenge, a real in-your-face challenge, right, to change. Or to change a behavior.
What about pride?
Accountability.
Accountability?
Accountability. Got me on that.
And you said
pride?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you could have a level of pride in there.
I've always wondered, is all pride bad?
It all goes to your heart.
Like taking pride in your work, you know?
Right.
And, you know, those kind of aspects of pride, you know?
Yeah.
It says, you're going to boast close to the Lord, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, boasting in the Lord, take pride in your work. You know, being diligent. It's another words for it, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, okay. Using those words, pride can be good. But it's when we allow it to become conceited within us,
yeah.
and it takes root, and we view ourselves as better than something else, or self-righteous, or fill in the blank, right? All those negative aspects.
It starts defining your character.
When it defines your character, that's a problem.
I think all pride leads to sin. You know, you got to measure it. I think, you know, I would say all pride has a little bit of sin in it. I think that's just the state of the world we're in. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little off on this, but I don't know.
No, I think you can be. You can have. If you're prideful of your work, but you have to stay humble as well. So there's a fine line there, I think. So you're right. All pride can be.
I see what you're saying. I like treading that fine line, you know, between where you could have like the idea that you have this good work ethic or whatever, you know, and then when it becomes one of the best. Then you cursed into sin, you know what I mean? Because then you get arrogance and all that other stuff.
You hit the ditch, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm real good at it. I'll find every one of them.
I think it also goes along with the sense of you can be prideful and say, I did this great thing, whatever, insert whatever that is, right. You know, versus, you know, thank you, Lord, for the ability to do, you know,
right.
That thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think
be
you're
grateful.
You know, again, there's that fine line of, I think some of it has to do with your attitude, and really it comes back to making sure that, you know, there's that humbleness, but you can still, like I said, you can still be thankful to the Lord that you even have the ability to do that, that type of thing. I think it's pride in a sense, but I think it's really, it's honoring to the Lord, you know, thank you for the ability to do this or that, or that, you know, giving me the strength to do it, or, you know, whatever. I think that type of attitude can help when you know you've done a good job.
Right.
But honestly,
it's of the Lord.
It's
you're,
of
you're
the
right.
Lord. You
yeah.
didn't do it of yourself. There's no
I
in it. It's totally God
right.
making sure that you have the skills or knowledge or strength or whatever it is
I
to
see.
Do it. Because without Him, you wouldn't have done
right.
it anyway.
That's what, like he was just saying, boast in nothing but the Lord.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a hard attitude
sorry, I opened
to go
up proverbial
back.
Can of
if
worms.
If you put the
eye
in pride, that's when you're fine, right? That
was
kind
of long.
Just
kind
of flew out.
I think the phrase, take pride in your work, is probably not the best use of the
yeah,
word
I agree
pride.
With that. Yeah.
Maybe it's do the best job you can possibly do, right?
Good, good.
Yeah. Stay humble, too.
I like that.
Better phrase from...
Take honor.
Yeah. Be happy in your work.
Basically, like, if you're happy, you can only have your hands.
There you go.
That's a rough one.
And then everyone started whistling the tune.
So
you're saying I'm committing
that's
a crime,
right.
And I'm happy to do it. Tax fraud, here we come.
There we go. Woo, I'm happy.
Happy
right. So, let's go to verse 7.
It has to be with honey.
That's cool.
One who is full of honey, but to one who is hungry, everything is bitter than sweet. One who is full of honey, but to one who is hungry, everything is bitter and sweet.
You may go louder?
No, you're good.
Okay. So what does all that mean?
Well,
good question, I don't know.
It makes me think of one of those sayings that people say, like, you never know what you got until it's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, the things that we take for granted, other people would be like, you know, hey, like, you know, that's pretty good. I want it on that side. Like, the grass is greener on the other side, you know.
People are hungry enough, they'll eat just about anything.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's proven by all the hungry souls out there whose hearts are empty. And they will believe anything that they're told.
Scared you?
It makes me think, like, the way that we are in our society is, at least for, like, America, like, we have the freedom of religion, right? Like, we have churches here available, we have, you know, the right to go and practice our religion, where it's like halfway across the world in China or the Middle East, like, they do not have the right to practice Christianity whatsoever. And the things that we might take for granted, where it's like, oh, like, I, you know, I just can't go to that church, the people there are just awful, or, you know, or I was hurt by this church, or this happened, or, you know, I'm not going to do that this week, I'm tired. Where it's like people who are, like, you know, basically, like, risking their lives to go to church or to practice their religion. It's like, you know, to us, it's like one of those things where it's like the honeycomb that we kind of take for granted, where other people would look at that and say, you know, I wish I could be there, I wish I could do that.
Goes back to humility versus pride, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone that's full, got all the honey they need, they're like, I don't need that, you know, I got all I need. But then the person looking that really needs something, it's just the gratefulness, being grateful for what you have. It's like the rich and the poor, you know, it's like some people aren't grateful for what they have, like you were just saying. And yeah. Some people are. A lot of times when you don't have anything and then you have the availability to have food, that's a huge deal. It doesn't matter if it's a steak dinner or Taco Bell, you can still be grateful.
Steak dinners.
Right.
Good.
So what categories would you assign verse 7?
I feel like you could put it in poor and needy.
Yeah, you can do that.
Humility.
I should have said steak and shake or steak dinner.
Steak and shake.
I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with
steak and shake. Can't go wrong with no steak and shake, my friend.
Steak and shake.
Or crap will be, you know.
You could put it in a gift from God.
Yeah. That's good.
You gift can always God. Put something that's steak and shake.
Where is that?
It's round number 3.
Thank you.
It's
an illusion. There's that illusion.
Yeah.
That illusion that, you
know. Something is better. Maybe you could put in greed as well.
So is there a measure of contentment that we need to look at for this as well?
Yeah.
I think it's always less than what you think it is. You know, I don't think it's something, you know. There's nothing in the Bible that says this is what you need to eat to be a Christian or one like that. But, I mean, everyone can understand disparity. So it's, again, it's just looking what's around you. In the U.S., we're kind of, you know, even our disparity is, you know, like, I'm not trying to, like, dismiss the homelessness in the U.S., but being homeless in the U.S. is a lot different than being homeless in China and in third world countries, anything like that. It's, you know, we have, there's a lot of honeycombs in the U.S., you know. It's hard for us to...
Honeycombs.
Or lots of great things in the U.S. So I think it's hard for us especially to sympathize with those things because, you know, mangoes and rice may be the last things in your pantry, but somebody may have never had that meal before in their life. Yeah.
That may be somebody's steak dinner.
Yeah.
That might have been someone's Applebee's.
It could be like self-control or joy, even maybe.
Yeah, self-control and joy.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Now in my heart.
You know what it kind of made me think of, like when I first got to Mooresville. God, I knew that, like me ending up in Mount Gilead was not a coincidence. You know what I mean? It's like just the people that came in my path and like how at home I felt, but then it's like I got to like micromanaging the church at first, like for what it wasn't, instead of like accepting that God had placed me there for a reason for what it was. Cody and I have had talks about it. He's like, he didn't say it, but it was like, what I got was like, maybe you focus on the wrong things, you know? And it's like, and as I found that contentment, I'm being grateful for what God had given me. Like, now it's like, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
Right.
You know, it's like, but I was definitely focused on the wrong thing when I first got there. Like, there's no altar calls, there's no this, you know, there's no that, you know, and it's like, and I realized how selfish I was being, you know, and it's like, it's hard to say in an open group, but it's true, you know, and it's like, and when I found that contentment for what it was, you know, then it started like completely filling every aspect of my life, you know. I was like me trying to tell God, you know, I got this, bro. You don't quite know what you're doing.
It's like a pastor I heard not too long ago say, you know, if you're arguing through the windshield with God, it's only going one way. It's, you're probably wrong. Yeah. You may be driving the right way, but you're probably wrong. I'm like, yeah, well. He and I have a lot of conversations through the windshield, right?
It's like a buddy of mine.
I need to check myself sometimes. Yeah.
Guy, and I pointed out the fact that, like, when Jacob wrestled with God, that he said he wasn't going to bless. He said he wasn't going to let go until God blessed him. But God didn't bless him until Jacob let go. You know, and I didn't think about that. For me, he was like, he didn't bless him until he let go and let God have his way.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, you know.
Humility there is, yeah. Humble yourself.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
That's what it is. Like, I don't got this.
Yeah. I don't have the answer, yeah. Right?
I definitely don't.
He has the bigger plan. Humility.
And I think sometimes, to go along with what you were saying, you know, God had a best for you, and you were like, oh, I just want the good or the better. I don't want the best.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know? And yeah. So I was like, wait a minute. So Mom would always say that when we were trying to discipline our kids, me and my sister. She's like, well, are you, you know, showing them the good, teaching them about the good and the better, and showing them the best? And so, you know, I think God does that for us. And sometimes we're like, okay, I'm good with the good. I don't, you know, and yet he's got this best category that would totally blow us away.
Right.
I think sometimes we, yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes we're stubborn and we're like, nope, I want this. Yeah. And, you know, he's got something, like I said, that would just blow us away.
So that's kind of what you guys were kind of saying. In my mind, I think about patience. Because, you know, we always want it, and like, sometimes the best answer prayers are the long waiting prayers.
Yeah.
It's because sometimes those are like, you keep praying, you keep asking, you keep asking, you keep asking, and he's like, hold on, I got you. Hold on. Hold on, you're not there yet. You're not there. You know, sometimes when you like go full throttle, he's pumping your brakes like, whoa. Hold on, just patience. And that's what he's saying, sometimes patience.
Or just accepting that God says no.
Uh-huh.
That's one.
Yeah.
Great conversation. So let's chapter 27 and verse 8.
Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home.
So what happens when birds jump out of the nest?
Sometimes they die.
They do.
Fly or die.
Fly or die, that's the way they live.
Wow, I just like how you just said that.
It happens. Sometimes birds die. It is what it is. So, or sometimes they thrive. It depends.
Defenseless.
Yeah.
They can be defenseless. So when we stray away from home, what does that mean? Our home. It could mean our home here, right? It could mean our physical home, where Mom and Dad are, or when we were kids, or where our home is today. When we stray away from that,
mm-hmm.
What happens when we go away from home, that safe place? What happens when we go away from that safe place?
Everything changes.
Vulnerability.
I feel like there's two things that either happen. You either succeed or you don't succeed. It's really, you know, one or the other. Because I, like, with this verse, when going back to it, it just says, like, anyone wandering from home is like a bird wandering from its nest. It doesn't really say, like, there's any failure or success. It just says it's wandering from its nest. So, like, the possibilities are endless when you leave home.
Yeah. There's vulnerability, there's risk, there's opportunity, there's those three kind of make it up for me. I mean, opportunities to be succeed or fail, you have, you know, all the things, right?
Depends on if you have your mama with you. Or not.
Yeah. Yeah, so the bird has to leave the nest to get food.
And to find a mate.
I'm so sorry. I'm traveling. I live in Texas. I have a 3-year-old who's about to pee her pants.
Come inside.
Yeah, come in.
Oh,
my goodness.
She wandered from the nest.
She wandered from the
Our power went off, so So, I don't care as long as I'm the toilet.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much. I'm
no
so
problem.
Sorry.
No,
you're fine.
No worries. I'll show you where it's at.
She needs a flashlight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or iPhone light.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it'll be dark in here. It'll
be real dark in there.
Yep.
Won't have to worry if she hits her or not. Nobody will know.
Mom will know when she picks her back up and carry her out.
Or the next person behind her. Woo!
That's awesome.
Clean up where it gets in. Well, I think when you wander from the nest, you need to make sure that you're wandering according to God. If He's telling you to wander or not wander.
Yeah.
And if you know your way back.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
How are you?
Tonight? Having a Bible study or something.
Oh, yeah.
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 Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. She had an emergency there. She said, there's some people out there. Maybe they'll let us go in there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I bet you haven't had anybody stop by like that.
No.
Twice. Wait, vessel.
It's right. Every week, yeah. Strangely. It's
every week, we've got someone pass by.
Margie. Good with faces, I'll be terrible with me.
So you guys are driving from Texas.
Well, actually, I live in Texas in the winter, up here in the summer.
Okay.
I live at you know where Keller Hill Road is?
Yeah,
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 yeah, I live out there. My daughter is from Texas. Okay, she's up for 3 weeks. Her and the kids and stuff.
Thank you so much. If you let her,
they're getting ready to go back in a couple
she's
days.
Got a little bladder. She does not hold it.
Glad we were available.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
He kills me, man. I love it.
That's fun. So you were saying sometimes when you leave the desk, it's...
You need to make sure you're leaving as you're supposed to be leaving according to God. You're following God's will, right? Not some.
I know there's a lot of, like, IUPUI, there's a lot of, like, I joined a Bible study that was just straight up a cult, but there's a whole lots of Mormons and Jehovah Witness set up around there. There's a whole lot of, because it's a bunch of vulnerable idiots walking around all one place. It's nice and easy for you. So it's knowing and understanding your home values and keeping to those or fly away in the wind.
I think there's a good balance of, like, you know, like, being open-minded, but at the same time, like, being really rooted in, like, your core beliefs. Like, you know, like, our core beliefs, everything we know fundamentally goes down to what the Word of God says and what the Bible states. There is no changing that 100%. But it's also good to be, like, open-minded in a sense to know, to, like, listen to others, to absorb change and things. But at the same time, with that open-mindedness, just know with your core beliefs, if it does not follow what the Bible says and what it states, then that's probably, you know, not the right way to go. But, you know, this is why we have, you know, the Bible, the Manual for Life, and basically it sets the way that our life is supposed to be. But, you know, it's a lot of risk with leaving home, but there's also a lot of growth and change with it too that you can experience.
Interesting. What you're talking about are a commitment or a belief and a commitment to absolute truths.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not my truth, your truth, the tree's truth. It's we know that this, we believe and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is true, right? The Bible
is
true.
This is our nest.
This is how we are going to live our life, and everything outside of that has to be weighed against this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, as you said, keeping that open mind to listen to other people's situations and to understand where they are and how it is in perspective to the truth. And I was very careful not to say my truth, right? It's the truth. How is what is being said, taught, measured, and we're weighing that against the truth. I mean, great opportunities when our girls were going through school, great opportunities for them to come home and go, the teacher said, blah, 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 this, that doesn't make sense. Well, this is what we believe. These are the truths. When we say that God created the heavens and the earth, that's a truth. That's what we believe. And then you can weigh against that, and you can still have a conversation with that person, mm-hmm. person, and not cut them out, not cut them off, right?
All right.
So before we get any further, what categories would we assign this this bird in verse 8?
You could put it in simple.
Simple?
I think it's a very simple message.
Yeah, very simple message. Good.
Influence?
I'm sorry, Aaron. I
you're good. You're fine. No. It's all good.
Sometimes
I have a fleeting mind, so.
Discernment and self-control.
There you go. Discernment and self-control.
Firm foundation.
I like that. Firm foundation.
I think it's in mind. I think it's interesting because it says, like a bird that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. I just thought it kind of breaks down like the woman and the man almost.
Yeah.
To a sense that seems interesting.
It does.
Could even be like husband and wife or something.
Mine doesn't say her, though. It's just it.
Yeah, mine doesn't say that either.
Or the wanders from its nest. Mine
just says anyone.
What version is it?
Mine's New American Standard.
King James
says
her.
I think of birds.
Having a nest is a she. Is she bird?
She's got babies.
Mm.
The male doesn't. I mean, I can see them
sleeping
the nest, but they don't really sit there and eat the babies.
A female
may
be more vulnerable.
That puts a whole new slant on her leaving, wandering from her nest, especially if she has eggs or babies. You know, that's responsibility.
I hear from her
and a lot more.
Yeah.
Lot more involved in that.
Almost accountability at that point in time.
Yeah.
Responsibility, integrity.
Because the King James says there's a man who wanders from his place.
Place me, his home.
Right. But I was also kind of like thinking like when you like when life gets you off your square, you know what I'm saying? It's like a man that wanders from his position. You know, that's what honestly what I first thought. You know, like a person, you know, like a man has basically lost his way. You know.
Or lost their focus.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Because
we can get off focus so easily with so many distractions.
Yeah.
Because birds are meant to fly, they're not meant to stay in a nest. But if they had babies in there, like she said, the eggs. And they still have to leave once in a while, but they come back.
But if she leaves her nest unattended before the babies are ready, then a snake or somebody can come take the babies away.
That's
why the male plays an hour.
And
yeah,
so the man is wondering if he's got a...
He's not leaving his family.
Somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
That's a whole deep verse, very deep verse.
Yeah. So like a mother who leaves her eggs unattended is like the man who leaves his family and is not, you know, leaving them anymore.
That's a whole other different topic.
Going down the rabbit hole.
Because of that one little word Cody brought up.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know,
her.
Yeah.
Her.
That's interesting.
So there would be a path involved in that.
Definitely.
Oh, path. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said math. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, hold on.
I'm here to do algebra.
I was like, hold on.
And that's almost a matter of the heart then at that point.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You can put that down in one of the categories, heart. Probably. There you go.
I wrote it down.
Oh,
so, where we've been this evening, we've actually been out here for an hour.
Wow.
And it went really fast with just four verses.
Whatever.
But that's pretty awesome. I really enjoyed the conversation this evening. What kind of sticks out to you as what we've kind of some themes that we've been talking about this evening in just these four little verses we've been talking about?
Stay humble.
Be humble. Good.
Honest conversations, honest friendships.
Anything else?
Stay grounded in the truth.
Stick to your firm foundation.
That's mine too. She took the words right out of my mouth.
You can be nice and still sin.
Yeah, true.
Like being content.
Yeah.
Because 6 says faithful, 7 says satisfied, and the man who wanders, you know, being content where God has put you. Yeah.
Very good. Well, let's pray this evening, and then we'll...
Really like discernment.
Discernment. Yeah. Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, and we thank you, Lord, that the storm came through and cooled everything off. We thank you, Lord, that it wasn't what we wanted to experience, but we got to sit outside and listen to your creation and listen to your word and your challenge. Pray, Lord, that we would be humble, that we would be discerning, but we'd also speak truthfully in love and never out of malice or ill consent. Pray, Lord, that you would just encourage the family that stopped by this evening. Thank you for bringing them here so that we could just open the doors and be friendly. We love you, Lord. We thank you for all the opportunities that you've given to us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I know.